Well, good morning and happy Sunday, Redeemed Church. It's Pastor Steve. Thank you again for checking in with us. And we're continuing doing our internet services right now. We're going to pray and believe God for a wonderful day. But as always, we love to start our Sundays with praise reports. And a couple of things right top of my head is I just want to thank and praise God that we have the technology as a church to continue to be in touch with you, whether it's the internet, emails, our website. Praise God for that. It's such a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the great ministry tasks that we got done this week was all of the peanut butter and tuna fish that was brought in over the past several weeks was delivered to the Fish Food Bank along with some clothing. And they just pass on a great big thank you to all of you. Amen. Well, why don't we begin with our a prayer. There are some prayer needs that are still on our list. So we just want to lift up. I'm just going to lay hands on my phone because I'm scrolling through all the prayer needs. And whether it's in whatever needs that you have today, just receive your miracle today. Receive the blessing of God over your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I lay hands on this, these emails and this prayer and praise list of people that are believing you to heal their bodies, break them through, Lord God. Financial miracles, I see a lot of health miracles that we're believing for, and we just touch them, Lord. There's no list too big for you, Jesus, and we thank you for it. You are the God who heals today, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we were made whole. And we continue to come against this spirit of infirmity, that's this plague that's come against our nation, this coronavirus. We bind it, we cast it out of our nation in the name of Jesus. And we cover all of you in Jesus' name, in your households, in your homes. We are fear-free, worry-free. We're people full of faith in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we were made whole. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with our statement of faith like we always do. Say this with me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, walking in faith and victory. I'm called, anointed, and chosen, favored, blessed, and loved. I'm the head and not the tail, not beneath but above. I am a child of God, and God loves me. Praise the Lord. Pastor Shelley is going to lead us now in some worship.
Doesn't matter. day may bring. I'm gonna lift my voice and sing. I've got your joy down in my soul. Gonna lift your name, let the praises roll. I've got joy down in my soul. Gonna lift your name, let the praises roll. I got joy. I've got your joy.
Praise the Lord, church. God is so good. You know, I was reading this morning, just before we get into our message today, I was reading in Acts chapter 10, the first couple verses, and it says this: there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up to God, have come up for a memorial before God. I just want to stop right there. You know, this guy Cornelius, he was a man among men. I mean, the Italian regiment, a centurion, and he had a love for God, a really unusual, uncommon love and devotion to the Lord. And he was a giver. He was very generous and a man of prayer and a man of faith. And the thing that jumped out at me there was that part where it says, where the angel tells him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. And church, I just want to remind you, as you're giving, as you're continuing to sow your seed into the ministry, just know that your giving and your alms and your prayers go up as a memorial before God. And in our times of need and you know, seeming shortage and areas where the enemy has come against us and challenged us in our faith and financially and everything else, just know this, church, your giving, your seeds of financial, you know, your financial seed that you sow into ministries like this one and others, it comes up as a memorial before God, and the angels of God are working supernaturally on your behalf. So just be encouraged. Just believe, trust, know that you're sowing and you're reaping and you're giving into ministries as a memorial before the Lord. Your prayers, your hunger after God is not going unnoticed. We're not in this to earn some sort of brownie points with God, of course, but your faith in him, these are things that show that you believe, that you trust, that he's our provider, that he's our healer, that he is our breakthrough, that he's our God, and these things will only bring wonderful supernatural results into our lives. So Father, I praise you as your people continue their giving and their prayers, Lord, that these things are coming up before you as a memorial today, Lord. And we keep your word in our hearts, Lord God, and we know that you keep our best interests in your mind, Lord God, and that you are sending answers, Father God, to us. You are sending results. You are supernaturally providing for people during this season, Father, and always. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you that you're the God of abundance and wealth, that we're flourishing in times that seem like they're famine. And we take it all by faith right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And we still can receive offerings and tithes by way of mail right now. So on our website there, you can click on the give. I think there's a give button at the top there, and it gives our mailing address. So God bless you as you give. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Just say this after me. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. I receive raises, bonuses, increase, businesses, jobs, hallelujah, ministries, the blessing of God on my finances today. Harvesting angels, go and gather it in from the north, south, east, and west. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, we're going to continue our message on Jesus fulfilled the spring feast. Don't you love Jesus? Let's just pray this prayer together as well. Just say, Father God, I receive eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that is attentive to your word today. I give you the praise for your words to us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're gonna talk today about Jesus fulfilling the spring feast. This is kind of our final message on this today. Jesus fulfilled the spring feast. And why is that significant? Well, it's significant because when you're reading through your Bible and you hear words like Passover, like Feast of Weeks, you know, first fruits, unleavened bread. It should ring a bell now when you hear that, because Jesus fulfilled these things, and he literally is the fulfillment of these things. Amen. So everything from in your Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, is about him. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost will help us as we're studying and reading the Bible to see Jesus in all of it. Amen. But today I want to talk about Jesus fulfills the Feast of Weeks. Everybody say that. Jesus fulfills the Feast of Weeks. And our foundation texts have been Matthew 5:17, 1 John 3:8, and Matthew 17:1 through 5. And I'm looking at the picture on the laptop right now that is the picture of Jesus when he appeared, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration, when he took a few of his disciples up the mountain. And Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became gleaming white, and the disciples were just overwhelmed. And Peter said, "Let's build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." And the Father spoke, you know, out of a cloud above them. I mean, what an experience these men had. And he said, "Listen, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." In other words, it's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Somebody say, it's about Jesus. Amen. Amen. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says this, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." In 1 John 3:8, he says this, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen. So Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets and to destroy the works of the devil. So clearly, the law and the prophets were not the works of the devil. Amen. The law and the prophets showed us what sin was, showed us what righteousness was, were prophecies of a coming Messiah who would fix everything. Amen. Who would heal people, who would deliver us. Amen. This is glorious news. And all of these feasts we've been looking at are types and foreshadows and prophetic words and rehearsals of the real thing. Amen. Shadows, images of the real thing. Jesus is the Passover lamb. No more lambs and pigeons and bulls need to be sacrificed to cover my sin. Jesus came, died once and for all time, removed, wiped away, washed away the effects and the curse of sin over my life. Amen? So anyone, somebody say anyone, anyone who comes to Jesus in faith, anybody who comes to Jesus can be born again. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, Our foundation text for today's message is Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 22, and this goes into the Feast of Weeks. Let me read this to you. Let me read this to you as we move forward here. Got to flip to it in my Bible, Leviticus 23. If you got your Bible, get it out, use it. Amen. We're just believing God for glorious things. Glorious things. Amen and amen. Leviticus chapter 23. Flipping there. Leviticus chapter 23. God is so good. Verses 15 through 22. The Word of God says this. "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths." Somebody say 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Verse 16, "Count 50 days. Everybody say 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." Somebody say a new grain offering to the Lord. "You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. Somebody say fine flour. Bring the good stuff to God. Amen. The first. Amen. "They shall be baked with leaven." Say baked. Baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. In verse 18, you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull, 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their, now that's cool, you know, burnt offering, amen, to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire, somebody say by fire, for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. Oh, just we ought to just remember and just thank Jesus that He is our sin offering. He is our peace offering. His sacrifice was the sweet aroma to the Lord that satisfied all the things that the curse put on humanity. Amen. Because of the results of sin. Amen. Verse 20, the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. You shall proclaim on the same day that is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever. Somebody say forever. Don't you know what Jesus did is a forever sacrifice? Amen. In all your dwellings throughout your generations, when you reap the harvest of your land, verse 22, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, you shall, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And there's a note in there. I'm going to read you something out of Hebrew for Christians, the website, Hebrew, the number 4, Christians. And they mentioned that verse I just read, that this feast reminds us of the book of Ruth. It's a great time to read the book of Ruth. Amen. But in Hebrew for Christians, the website, it says this, the festival of Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, marks the culmination of the redemption, the gathering rally of Passover. Shavuot stands in contrast to Passover that requires unleavened bread, matzah. And I shared the other day how I was in the grocery store, and the grocery store is full of leavened bread. Amen. I was looking for some matzah to bring to show you in the church and how, you know, Jesus removes the leaven, the sin out of our lives. Amen. But this holiday and in this festival, in contrast to Passover, you actually bring leavened bread. And it says this, Shavuot stands in contrast to Passover that requires unleavened bread, matzah, since the 2 loaves of bread made from the first fruit of the wheat harvest are baked with yeast before being waved to the Lord. Leviticus 23 that we just read, verses 15 to 20. Amen. So this reminds us, church, the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the Sabbath there, after Passover, this represents the time that the Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus, well, let me get to the next verse. We'll walk through this together. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, this is a prophecy hundreds of years before Jesus was born, right? Isaiah the prophet, behold, I will do a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise God forevermore. So this harvest time, this festival of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, is about harvest. And don't you know, church, when Jesus died, his body was deposited in a tomb. He went into the belly of the earth, right? He went into the pit of hell. He was literally planted like a seed in the ground. And of course, the power of God raised him up, glory to God forevermore. And 3 days later, he was alive again in his glorified body, the firstborn of many brethren, glory to God forevermore. But it wasn't done then even yet. 50 days after that, amen, 50 days after that is when the fullness of the work of Jesus was poured out, amen. And Jeremiah 31:33 says this, But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the meanings with Pentecost and Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, is that it's the time that Moses received the Ten Commandments, right? It was that many days during the children of Israel's wanderings and so forth, Mount Sinai, that the fullness of the Ten Commandments, right? The Word of God written on tablets of stone was delivered to the people. Amen? And in the same way, that was a type of Jesus being brought to the earth. Amen? A type of when he died and he rose again, that Spirit of God is now, the fullness of God is now not just written on tablets of stone, but God is now able to supernaturally pour him down on the inside of us. Amen? Changing hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen? That's why the law of the prophets were great, but it wasn't God's full plan. The full plan is for him to be living on the inside of us. That is powerful. Amen? That the Holy Spirit is now able to indwell us. That the living Word of God, literally, is now able to live on the inside of us. Amen? And it's no more about following laws and regulations and do's and don'ts. It's about the love of God. It's about receiving the fullness of His love for us and walking in His love toward others. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 3:11 says it this way, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist, right? But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. Praise the Lord. Jesus is mightier than the law and the prophets. He is mightier than just honoring these feasts and festivals. Amen. He's mightier than a list of do's and don'ts. Amen. John says, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. And you think of Mount Sinai, you know, when God led them in a pillar of smoke, right, a cloud, and a pillar of fire. Amen? God often uses light and fire to illustrate and to you know, represent his presence in our lives. Hallelujah. He will baptize you, somebody say, Jesus baptizes me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Glory to God forevermore. I want to read you a couple things I've been reading Kenneth Copeland's book called The Blessing. Amen. I've been trying to do about a chapter of that a day. It's just a marvelous book. But he was going through a lot of this, this very thing, in some of the illustrations that he was using. But he says this, Exodus 13:21, God led the Israelites by his presence. He is described as a pillar of fire to give them light. In Genesis 15:17, again, this is coming out of the Blessing of the Lord book from Kenneth Copeland. When God cut the covenant with Abraham, he appeared as a burning lamp that passed between the pieces of sacrificial animals. Hallelujah. Psalm 104:2. The psalmist, God revealed himself as the one who covers himself with light as with a garment. In Ezekiel 1:26 and 27, Ezekiel's vision, God had the appearance of a man with fire around about, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Amen. Habakkuk 3:4. When the prophet Habakkuk saw him, his brightness was like the light. He had rays, lightning-like splendor flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. And in Acts 2, we're going to look at that in just a minute. On the day of Pentecost, when God poured his Spirit out on his early disciples, there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And in Revelation 4:5, when the Apostle John received the revelation and saw God on his throne, he saw lightning and fire around it. In Revelation 21, 23, in John's vision of the New Jerusalem, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God had lit in it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, He will baptize you. He will baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Praise the Lord forevermore. And that's what this festival is about. It's harvest, right? When Jesus finished the work of our salvation, when he rose again from the dead, somebody say it wasn't over yet. Amen. He had to leave the planet. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I go to my Father so I can send you the Comforter. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, look at Acts chapter, and it's interesting that that word Pentecost is, you know, 50 days. That's a harvest season. That's how long it takes for a seed to go into the ground, die, and then come back and you know, be producing a harvest. So the Holy Ghost literally is the harvest that we're talking about. Jesus fulfilled this day in that he finished his work, went to be at the right hand of the Father, and sent us the Holy Ghost. Glory to God forevermore. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. We'll close it up with this, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody just say, I receive the Holy Spirit today. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So see, this even happened on Pentecost, right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you see, church, a lot of people don't believe that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everybody, but that is not true. That's a lie. That is not true. Amen. I'll say it again. That's not true. It says right here, they were all filled. He's for everyone who believes. Now, the prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Spirit is you do have to be born again. You don't want to just receive, you'll receive any old spirit if you don't get saved first. Amen. So these were believers and followers of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be baptized in water before you get receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be baptized in water. That's another sermon. But John the Baptist said, hey, look, what I'm doing is great, but what he's going to do is even better. Amen. He's even mightier. Praise the Lord. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when you receive your heavenly prayer language, you are praying in the Spirit, not with your understanding. Amen. And praying in other tongues is a fruit of an evidence that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray in the Spirit here in just a moment. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Amen. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Well, you know they were mocking, but guess what? This is the new thing Isaiah was talking about. Amen? He took the old things of the law and of the prophets, amen, things that were to literally bring, you know, death, right? And he brought life out of it, something alive, this Holy Spirit now infilling these people. Now that God can fill us up with his Spirit, he's literally pouring his word down on the inside of us, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Somebody just lift your hands and praise the Lord for his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." You know, we just had the blood moons, a year or two ago. That's a prophetic sign in itself. Amen. Peter's talking about that right there. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And let me just direct your attention to Peter, right? Peter, Simon. Simon means wavy reed. Peter means rock solid. The Holy Ghost is the difference in Peter's life. His faith in Jesus, yes. But if you'll remember, after Jesus died, Peter went to hide. Amen. He denied he was a coward. He denied he even knew him, right? And then you get the Holy Ghost in a man. You get the Holy Ghost inside of a person, and something happens, church. The wavy reed turns into the rock. Jesus was calling Peter the rock before he was. Amen. Jesus was calling Simon, right? The wavy reed, the rock. He was speaking something that was not as though it was. And now this the same guy that was hiding for his life, that was ashamed, right? That was dejected, that was quitting, is now up here boldly praying in tongues and preaching to thousands of people the glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And don't you know the same Holy Ghost that was poured out on that day of Pentecost is right here, right now. I'm here in my bedroom studio preaching to you. And wherever you are and whenever you are, he is beyond time and space, church. Just lift your hands and say, "Father God, I receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit right now. I receive my heavenly prayer language." And just begin to pray out in another tongue. And it goes shooter him a kisho and eat a mokil and shoot him a kia. No, yeshamane. Glory, glory, glory to God. For I will fill you afresh with my spirit. I am turning things. There's a turning of things in your life. For the things that were sent to destroy you, says God, will flee from you. For the enemy may come against you in seven ways, but he will flee from you in many more ways. Receive of my spirit, says God. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Get out of your mind, says God. Get outside of your own head. You do this by praying in the Holy Ghost. Ke la ve sha. There's a calming There's a calming. There's a peace of God that passes all understanding of these temporal challenges. And He's turning it all. He's turning it all to your victory, says God. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Just thank the Lord for that today. Just thank Him for it today. Just praise Him for it today. God, we thank You and we praise You and we glorify You and we magnify You today. And we receive You, Lord. We receive it, Lord God. We receive Your Holy Ghost. We receive Him. We receive Him today. And we believe You, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for being the fulfillment of all of these spring feasts, Lord God. And we'll give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say, Amen.